And so that's where we show up here in this passage where we have put off. And then when we come to verse 9, it says, do not lie one another, since you've been put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created you, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, Barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all. And then verse 12 of us, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, it says, put on tender mercies. That's compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ gave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. And now we get to verse 16, where it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So that's what I want to talk to us about this morning, specifically verse 16. So just a few minutes ago, I asked you, and I want you to think about this as we talk about God's word, what is distracting you from being in the Word? What is distracting you? Now, one of the things that we see here from this passage, specifically the first part of verse 16, is that we're to saturate ourselves in the Word. The part here that I want to show you is let the Word in you. Let the Word in you. In order for us to have the Word of God in us, we need to open our eyes. We need to open ears of our heart and our mind and get the Word in our thinking. I don't know if you noticed that in this passage, as I looked at all the way from verse 1, just kind of little excerpts, it uses, in verse 1, it says, seek those things which are above. And then verse 2, it says, set your mind on things that are above. It also uses our thinking, you know, to put off. In verse 10, and it says, and put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge. These are things that all associate with our mind and our heart. And when we come to verse 16, the word of Christ is specifically talking about the scriptures here. And when we think about our lives, there's a deep hole that I'm going to say needs to be replaced. You could also say maybe filled, but oftentimes our mind is filled with this thing. As we see the put on and put off principle, we see here that the things that are oftentimes that are filled our hearts and our minds need to be thrown out and replaced with scripture ideas and knowledge. Because in our culture, there's lots of ideas, there's philosophies, there's habits that need to be replaced. You know, even my mind, oftentimes, it's focused on sports facts and figures. And I don't know what your mind thinks about a lot. I think a lot about my house and my grass and, you know, things like that just kind of come natural responsibilities that I like to do or even hobbies. Some of it I've heard you quote like movie lines. You can just quote like a whole series of a movie or song lyrics or, you know, I don't know what you think about, but, you know, there's a lot of things and thoughts that come into our heads. Some of them are even sinful thoughts. And some of those thoughts need to be replaced with the Word of God. I wish that the Word of God could be learned through osmosis. I wish I could just, I remember when I was, in high school or even college, and, you know, we would talk about just laying your book down and laying your head on it, and then over the night hoping that all the thoughts from, you know, that were going to be on the test day would just show up in your brain through osmosis. I just wish that would happen because it would just be so much easier. But that is not the way God has laid out for us a way to learn. We have to read. And so sometimes as men, we'd rather move than read. That's me. I'd rather be on the move than to sit down and read and study. It's not going to happen through osmosis. Look at listen to this passage. 1 Timothy chapter 4 says, "And have nothing to do with irrelevant, silly myths, but rather train yourselves for godliness. For bodily training is of some value. Godliness is of value in every area, as it holds promise of present life and also the life to come." You know, when you sit down to read the scriptures, you fill your mind with godly words and thinking and music and preaching and podcasts. It's going to infiltrate your mind and your thinking. And that's what I want to encourage us this morning in. That the Word of God needs to be saturated. We need to saturate ourselves in the Word of God. It takes discipline. It takes training, just like this passage said in 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "Like newborn infants, long for spiritual milk of the Word, that you may grow." So there needs to be regular intake into our hearts and minds of the Word of God. We need to do hard work. We need to read the Word of God. Right now, I'm reading Second Samuel, and I'm just kind of like, wow, I've never heard of these places. I don't even know these people. And so it's a matter of like, okay, what is God saying here in this passage, and how is this relevant to the readers that it was originally written to, and then how can it apply to me here in 2022? And so we need to do the hard work. We need to spend time in scriptures. We need to read the Bible. We need to listen to the Bible. Now, in our culture, you have the Bible app. You know, as you're driving to work every day, you could pick a passage and just listen to it. As you're mowing the grass, you know, you could be listening to the music, or you could be doing something else, or listening to some secular podcast. But I want to encourage you to listen to the Word of God. Put the Word of God in front of you. Listen to preaching. Listen to teaching of the Word of God. Meditate on the Bible. Memorize the Bible. Passage also says that we're let the Word of God take up residence. This passage says in verse 16, it says, "Let the Word of God, let the Word of Christ dwell in you." The word "dwell" means to live in or to be at home. So what Paul is doing is he's calling on believers to let the Word of God take up residence and to be at home in our lives. Growing up, I had a best friend, and we pretty much met when we were in first grade. We were friends and still friends today. He and his wife now actually set up my wife on a blind date, myself, and that's how we met. But my friend's name was Russ Morningstar. And when I went to Russ's house, it was just like being at my house. His dad would just say, "Hey, help yourself. You know, here's the counter. You know, help yourself to the fridge. You want some ice cream? You know, help yourself. You want chocolate milk? There it is." You know, and I just kind of knew that's how they treated me, like family. And so when I went to their house, it was just like I was at home. And the same thing should apply to scriptures. As we read and memorize the scriptures, we need to let that dwell in us. But not only should we let it dwell in us, the passage tells us that we should let the Word of God dwell in us richly. The word "richly" means abundant, abundantly overflowing. That's how I get my point, to totally saturate our hearts and our minds in Scripture. We should literally be soaked in the Word. The Word of God should be dripping off us, almost like we just dove into a pool, we out, and the water is just dripping off of us. That's the way the Word of God should be so saturated in our hearts and minds that when we speak truth and wisdom, because God is so at work in us. We become so familiar with the truth that it is at home in our lives. It just rolls our lips. It just functions in our attitudes, our actions. And that's what causes us to be changed, to be like Christ. Have you ever had a relative that you don't know very well come to your house? Or you show up to someone else's house and don't feel comfortable? That's what we don't want to happen. We have such a familiarity with the Word of God that it's just us. These words stored up in our hearts and minds, and then the Holy Spirit guides us minute by minute, moment by moment, hour by hour, throughout the day. So we could ask ourselves some questions. Why do I need saturated in the Word? Well, I mean, we just tell it from Colossians chapter 3 that evil thoughts come from our hearts and our minds. And this, the Word of God, helps us to wash that garbage out. Why do we need to be saturated in the Word? Because it helps us to replace, establish these thoughts and put in line our heart and our mind with what is in line with Christ and the Spirit. Why else we need to be saturated in the Word? Because culture is wicked. And we can fall in line with its thinking because it's all around us. We hear it, we see it, and we live here. Why else do we need to be saturated in the Word? Because we need to know theology and what we believe about God, what we believe about life, and then we can share that. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says this, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, was given you by prophecy with the laying on of the hand of the eldership. He says, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Verse 16, he says, take heed to yourselves and to your doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save yourselves and those who hear you. The Word of God is important. It needs to be saturated into our hearts and our minds. One of the things that I've seen true about my life is that when trials come, whatever I put in is what's going to come out. Because oftentimes, it's almost like a sponge that soaks up something, and when the sponge gets squeezed, whatever we have put in our hearts and our minds is what comes out. Trials come, and we get squeezed, the Word of God should come out of us. Godly character and attitudes should come out of us. And as I mentioned before, this dwelling in, it happens by study, by meditation, by application of God's Word. It becomes a permanent abiding in the Word of God daily and consistently. So I'm going to ask you and ask myself some questions this morning. What are we filling our hearts and our minds with? What are we filling our hearts and our minds with? That's what's going to come out. Do you have a plan, accountability, and discipline set up to make sure that you're spending time in the Word? We have to be careful because we can allow other things to dwell in us, and our hearts and minds can be focused on those things because they're trending, they're popular, it's what everyone else is doing. We could go on and on about what some of those things are. As I asked you earlier, how many of you have grown up in church and heard the scriptures taught your whole life? And it was a majority of you, and my hand would also be raised. I think I was pretty much born in a hospital, and I was probably at church the next Sunday. And many of you might be very similar. But I want to challenge us to not just settle in an apathetic fashion or to say, I already know that. I was taught that a long time ago. I know the Bible well enough. You know, I've been going to church all my life. Well, the Bible is a big, big book. There is a lot to learn there. And one of the other things about me is I could learn it, and then one day later, I forget. And so I have to constantly go back and reread and understand and say, God, what do you have for me? And so I want us to encourage us to continue to take the next step spiritually, to continue to grow in the Word of God and our passion and our love for truth, God's Word. Allow this summer, the summer of 2022, to begin to implement needed steps in your life to help you to grow spiritually. One of the things you're going to see, Dad, is if you step up in this area, it's all going to help your kids. It's going to help your wife. Mom, grandmas, as you step into this and say, I need to be in the Word more. I really need my heart and mind saturated in the Word even more. My mind is getting sidetracked with so many worldly things. I need to put more truth in. We're going to notice a difference. Some of you in the room might say, I need someone to disciple me. I need someone to help me and hold me accountable to grow spiritually. There might be areas of sin or struggle in your lives that you say, I'm going to specifically look up scripture in the area of this sin because I struggle with pride or I struggle with being lazy. I don't know what it might be. But specifically look up scripture, focus your heart and your mind, and over the next couple months in the truths of God's Word to begin to make yourself stronger in these areas. It's going to take work. It's going to take discipline. And Psalm 19, verse 9 through 11, it says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding according to God's Word. With my whole heart I seek you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up word in my heart that might not sin against you. Hebrews 4:12, it says, the word of God is living and it's active and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Is God's word saturated in you so that it's just overflowing and coming out? When you develop a focus on the word like this, the word of God will flow out of you. And that is part of the goal here. In verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And then in the second part of the passage, it's just teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts, O Lord. I'm going to ask those in the back, you can put a clock up on the I have no clue what time it is. So I could just keep going and going and going. You guys would be like, it's time to go. So if there's a way you can do that, thank you. The second part of verse 16 tells us to let the word of God flow out of you. Let the word of God flow out of you. The clock was up there. Now it's gone. They'll get it figured out. You guys can tell me what it is, I guess. Where was I? When we think about the Word of God being saturated in our lives. Think about a drink that overflows. Oftentimes we don't like that because it makes a mess. But when you think about a cup of water that is filled with something, it's filled all the way to the top, it tends to overflow. Think about us in this passage specifically, Colossians chapter 3, if that cup is filled with all kinds of things we're to put off, we take that and we dump that out because that might be what's overflowing in our lives. And then the Word of God comes in and it starts to fill up that cup. And that cup then eventually overflows to the point where now you can begin to show, help other people to grow in their faith. It's so exciting. And that's what this passage is talking about. So let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly so that you can and eventually let the Word of God flow out of you, your teaching and admonishing one another. And so that brings us to the next point. One of the things that we should be doing is giving out wisdom to other people. Horizontal words. Other people that were around all the time. When we are spirit-filled, Christians can begin to teach and instruct one another. How do you become wise? You become wise by asking the Lord, 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 give wisdom, like James says. But you also become wise by spending time in God's Word, reading through Proverbs, reading through Scriptures. And when the wisdom begins to infiltrate us and saturate us, the overflow happens, and then we begin to share it with other people. You can begin to teach and instruct what you have learned. It's part of the overflow of your life. And this is called discipleship. You learn and grow, not only for your own benefit, but also for the benefit of other believers around you. Our goals as believers is not just personal growth, but all growth within other people's lives. It starts with sharing it with unsaved neighbors, coworkers, classmates, family. And Matthew 28 tells us to go therefore and make disciples of all nations. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, in this passage, it tells us to walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making best use of our time. As God works in us through the God, and we're overflowing, we're going to speak truth to unbelievers around us. They're going to see Christ in us because of our attitudes and our actions. They're going to see that we're different. And we're commanded to make disciples. Discipleship starts with new converts to salvation. And it's a part of going out to the world and sharing our testimony of how God has saved us and how the gospel can change their lives and what God has specifically done for them. It starts with us as believers taking responsibility to begin teaching unbelievers about their need of Christ. Take the wisdom of God's word, the overflow that God has given to you, and take that to unbelievers. Begin to take a list of believers around you. Begin to pray for them. Begin to look for opportunities to share the overflow of what God is showing you so that you can show them. You know, it was someone that shared God's word with you at some point in time for you to accept Christ. It was one of my Sunday school teachers for me that, well, one week they prepared lesson, they come to church Sunday, they taught the word of God, conviction was brought to my heart. I went to my parents and said, I heard about the salvation in Sunday school today, and I went to Christ. My dad continued to just build upon my Sunday school teacher, what they taught me, and it helped me that day to further understand my need of the gospel and my need of a Savior to accept Christ. It's other people sharing out of the overflow of their lives that impacted me. One of the next aspects of discipleship is when believers help other believers to grow in their faith. In Colossians 1:9 it says, And so from the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So we're to take this wisdom and the understanding from God's word. And this passage tells us that we're to teach one another. We're to impart God's wisdom from the word to also believers. This is the imparting of positive truth. Here, we're to fulfill our lives so that we have wisdom to give out. And one of the things that oftentimes is probably a concern is that sometimes as believers, we're spiritually parched. Our cup is dry. We haven't recently been teaching ourselves the word, or we're not focused on our spiritual truth like we should. We're not growing. And so we're not helping other people around us to grow. Each one of us should be growing in biblical wisdom, knowledge, our theology, even practical wisdom as to how we live life and respond to life's trials. And when we're impacted by the word of God, it changes us. And we can impact other people. Now this passage here, Colossians 3:16, is not just limited to elders and pastors and staff, but is for all of us. You know, you may say, well, I can't teach. Well, as you allow God's word to work in your life, it doesn't mean that you have to stand up in front of 300 people and teach, but teach the people you're around. As you're going throughout life, just speak about God's word and what God is doing in you that is teaching. You are taking wisdom that God has given you, and you can carry this out at home and in your workplace. Take this responsibility seriously to teach. And we do need people occasionally to step up in areas of ministries here for teaching. As you look about our church and think about all the ministries where the word of God goes out, like VBS and soccer camp, Sunday school and children's church and life group leaders and ladies' Bible studies and men's Bible studies and here at the pulpit. I mean, the word of God taught in this place a lot. And so we need people to be so saturated the word that they grow in maturity, that they're willing to step up and say, hey, I can teach that youth group class, or I can teach those children. We need people to step into those gaps, because that's how the word of God goes forth. That's how growth happens within the body of Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 4, where he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge living and dead at the appearing of his kingdom, and preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not tolerate truth. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. One of the reasons why we need to be saturated with the word is because of this warning right here. There will come a time where teaching will be null and void. People will not listen to what we have to say. And so we need to be saturated from the word of God so that truth comes out of us, so that when we teach God's word, people are able to hear it. Now, the next aspect we see of this passage is counseling one another. Now, in New King James, we see the word admonish. The word means to counsel. The teaching aspect is more on the positive side. The counseling here is more on a negative side of teaching, where we're actually warning or we're advising people. We're giving them what the consequences of a wrong action could be. And one of the things about this passage, it just tells us, as we let the word of God dwell in us, then the word of God is going to come out of us and teaching and also counseling. Somebody say, well, I am definitely not a counselor. Well, that may not be your number one gift, but the passage does tell us here that as the word of God dwells in us, we could have the possibility to warn people as God gives us wisdom to help people understand, if I were you, I don't think it's wise to do that. And to give them instruction, lovingly come alongside them and to help them if they're caught up in a sinful habit. Advise them of the consequence of that sinful habit. It's speaking out verbally. Sometimes we say as believers, like, oh, that's my problem. But the passage kind of saying, it is your problem. If you see a believer around you, you go and you help them. Throw them a lifeline. If you were at a lake and you saw someone drown, you would say, oh, that's not my problem. You say, I need to find someone to help. And if I don't know how to help them, I'm going to seek someone over here that maybe can help them. So what passage of Scripture come to mind when you think of what the Lord is talking about, this word admonition? In Romans chapter 15, verse 14, it says, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you be tempted. Acts 20:28, it says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. This morning, I want to encourage you that you would be a person that could give counsel. And one of the ways you can give counsel and receive counsel is when you have the Word of God saturated in our hearts and minds. So I want to ask us a question. What would be true of the way of a church family admonishes one another is if the Word of God is dwelling in them richly. If the Word of God is dwelling in us richly, we come to this area of counsel. We should be willing to counsel or help other believers. And when someone comes to us, we should be humble enough to say, you're right. I mean, it might hurt a little bit at first. Like, what do you do? You don't have a right to speak to me that way. Well, I mean, we could, like, put up our guard and act that way, rather than being teachable. But you know what's going to happen if that brother or sister that comes to you and talks to you has your best intention in mind? You're going to grow, and they're going to grow. And that's what the Word of God wants us to do. So how do you accept counsel? Sometimes the counsel comes from our wives. Sometimes counsel comes from even a child. And sometimes we need to look and say, I don't like what they're saying, but as I further examine life, I think they're right. And so what do I need to do about this? If the Word of God dwells in us richly, we're going to teach God's Word. It's going to overflow out of our lives. We're going to counsel. It's going to flow out of our lives. And the last part of this passage says is that we're going to sing. We're going to give praise to God. We're going to have words that are vertical. We're going to be able to help people on a horizontal level because God has given us the opportunity to serve and love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. But then the next that's going to do is cause us to lift up our hearts and our minds to God. What happens? Singing. In this passage, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you and you richly in all wisdom. It says, singing with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. When the words of Christ become so part of a believer's nature, we're just going to spring forth in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's going to become part of a just gracious and a thankful heart. Like, God, you are so good to me. We just lift up praise to him. Now, I don't think the main focus here is trying to understand the rigid differences between these three types of songs, the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs. But one of the things that I do see from this passage is that there's variety. And that variety should be used in worshiping God, giving praise to Him. Oftentimes we may make music and singing about ourselves, but really not. It's about God working in and through us, and the Word of God so dwelling in us that it just comes out. This passage tells us why. Because we're thankful. Why do we sing? Because God is amazing. And He's so saturated and dwells in our thinking because of the Word of God that is changing us, that I just have to praise Him. There's nothing else I can do. My heart is so thankful. It changes us from the inside out as it works inside and it comes out. It's reflected on the outside. When we fill up on Jesus and His Word, we're going to act completely different. Our praise is going to be different. We're going to sing because the Word of God is alive in us. My big idea this morning is we need to focus ourselves on God's truth, the Scriptures. And I specifically am challenging us this summer, over the next 3 months, that the Word of God, that it would just be something that is priority. That it is something that is one of our major focuses, like your life, of our church. I think if we focus in-depthly in the Word of God, each one of us individually is going to change us, because that's what God's Word does. As we see God's Word, and we see what it's saying, it's going to help us to grow. I want to end with two things. I want to read Scripture this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Part of a passage that I just read, but I want to read a little further. It says this: if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irrelevant, silly myths, but rather train yourselves godliness. For bodily training is of some value. Godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life, and also for the life to come. So what does that passage say? When you spend time in the Word, you are making an investment, not only for the here and now, but you are investing for eternity. You're also making an investment in your life, so that when it's spilled over, you're making an investment in other people's lives. Verse 9, and it says, saying is trustworthy and is deserving full acceptance, for this in toil, and we strive because we are hopes set on living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. It says, command and teach these things. The second part of what I want to do, closing here, is I want to end the message today with just discussing some hindrances of why we don't focus on the Word of God. At the beginning, I challenged you to begin to think about, why don't I? What can I do that's holding me back to further put my focus on the Word of God? One of the reasons why, hindrance number one, is maybe we don't have a plan. I want to encourage you to get a plan. Some of us need a plan. Some of you don't. If you're the type of person that when you wake up every morning, you just go like this. You just go, oh, nevertheless, in those days, the Lord, I will make a complete end of you. And it will be when you say, what does the Lord our God do all these things? I mean, we can just randomly just kind of pick, and maybe that's okay. But developing a plan would be a good idea. Another hindrance might be is that we would rather do something else. When we get up in the morning or even at night, we would rather just do something else. And I want to encourage us this morning that we would get priorities changed. We would say, nope, one of the most important things I need to do is to make sure that I'm in God's Word. Another hindrance might be is that we get so busy with good things. Like, I'm so busy, I just don't have time to read the Bible. Well, I encourage you to reprioritize, because really everything should flow out of that. Number four, we've lost our love. We're more in love with other things than we are with God and His Word. This morning, I want to challenge us. If that's you, repent and say, God, I'm sorry. My love for you is not what it should be, and I need to get right. Number 5, we're spiritually lazy. As I read many of these passages of Scripture today, one of the things that it'd say was discipline. Reading the Bible, spending time in the Word, is something that's discipline. It's hard work. You may need someone to help hold you accountable, that texts you every day or calls you, or you share, hey, this is what I learned today from God's Word. The next thing is that we're overtaken by sin and love for the world. We've allowed sin to move in, and we don't even spend time in the Word. This morning, I want to encourage you that you would seek forgiveness, change from that. If you're a believer, the Word of God should be in you. That's what we saw from this passage today. It should dwell in you. It should saturate you. The next reason why that you might have a hindrance to the Word of God is that you're an unbeliever. There may be no desire in your heart and your mind to even read the Word of God. And I think that's maybe something that you should consider. You may have gone to church all of your life, but you still might be unsaved. And you have never placed your faith and trust in Christ to be your personal Savior. That could be you today. If that's a hindrance for you, then you need to trust Christ as your Savior. So let's focus ourselves on the truth of God's Word. Let's make a plan. Let's hold each other accountable. We as a church, we need to be growing as individuals, and also make our church even grow to be that much more healthy because of how God is working and dwelling us through the Word of God. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for your truth today as we look at it. Father, what I presented today was not rocket science. It was very simple. But Father, I just pray that you would change our hearts and our minds to listen and to understand and to examine areas in our lives, not from a legalism standpoint, but from a desire to grow and to allow the Word of God to dwell in us richly so that we would teach and admonish and sing. Thank you, Lord, for your Word. Help us to live and breathe in us as you change us. In Jesus' name, amen.